Good morning, Calvary. How are you doing? Oh, that's terrible. Should have known with the day starting like that. Good morning, Calvary. Much better. All right, we are raring to go. Allison, thank you for that mission moment. The mission committee will be meeting today at 12:30 after the second service. And about 5 months ago, they wanted to find a way to let all of us know the updates in regards to the missionaries we support. We support missionaries here in Cowlitz County, such as the chaplains and others. Also nationally, such as the American Indian Institute, and then internationally, as well as our children's home. And decided that once a month we would share just an update to let you know of different missionaries that we might be praying. The Anaroods have been missionaries with us for many, many, many years doing a great ministry. So look forward each month to finding out who we should be praying for, and also to be rewarded with the fact that Calvary is sensitive to meeting the needs of missions globally. And because of your giving, we're able to support these missionaries and see God doing a really great work. Wanted to share, I received a phone call this morning from Jim Elliott, and many of us know that Idy went in for total knee replacement. She is coming home today. Things are going beautifully well. But she was having a really rough night, I believe it was last night, with anxiety and just the concern, and Jim was praying, and the nurse came in wearing a Cubbies outfit. Now, for the visitors, you want to know that Idy has been our leader of Cubbies forever. And when she saw that and found it was a Cubbies mom, she went, "This is God's sign. I'm going to be okay." And he said she just relaxed. You could see it visibly. Isn't God good to give us those signs of his presence, especially when we're going through challenges and changes? Today we're going to be looking at a beautiful nugget in the book of 1 Corinthians in regards to temptation and victory over temptation, / and testings. It's interesting in the Greek term that Paul uses, it can be used for testing or for temptation. Two sides of one coin. And so the principles that he gives us will encourage us, if we're going through a test, with how to go through that test, but it also will encourage us if we are really battling with some temptation to sin in our lives, and how that we can get the victory over that as well. So it's one wonderful nugget that reaches out to both areas of challenge in the Christian life. I actually had planned, I'm working on three sermons at a time, the next one, the one after, and the one after that, and was really thinking that the message we're going to have today was going to be on Christian liberty, our freedoms in Christ, freedoms to do things. You might be able to do something I can't do. I might be able to do something you can't do. How does that work and how does it work out? We like rules, and we like to inflict everybody with our own personal rules, don't we? If we're parents, we like the kids to be inflicted with the same rules that we have, and more fitting there. But as I looked at Memorial Day, I thought, that fits so beautiful with Memorial Day. But then we'll be talking about trials and tests and temptation. And God laid it on my heart that that's what we should talk about today. So you may be here because God knows that you are being besieged by temptation to sin, or you might be going through a challenging test that you need to know how to stand firm as you go through it. And so we're going to look at that today. The thought I want us to take from this service is that temptation and testings, while they cannot be avoided, can be overcome. You have a fear that what you're going through has alienated you from God, and you want to believe that you can get through this test, but the emotions and the feeling are so strong that I can't. Beloved, we are overcomers in Christ. Do you have a sin that easily besets you and it's been driving you crazy. You really feel you're battling in the mind that I can't get the victory over it. And that we are overcomers through the power of God's Spirit. It's interesting, when temptations and tests arise, we usually respond in one of three ways. The first and primary method that we usually do if it begins to prolong itself is to simply give into it. The test has been going on too long, so I'm just going to assume that God doesn't love me. I'm going to assume that I'm never going to get out of this. One of the leading causes to suicide is being in that very dark tunnel that you just don't see any light at the end. It is there and you do not see. One of the things when folks talk to you about suicide, if they entrust you with that, is to try to let them see light at the end of the tunnel, that there's some light there. But it is very easy in going through a test just simply to give up and say it's not going to work itself out, and to become depressed and alienated even from God himself. When going through the temptation of sin, because I've fallen prey to it in the past, it's easy to simply say, why resist it? It's going to win. I know it's going to get me, so why fight it? Let's just give in and take the consequences that come. That's often how we handle temptation and testing. The other is that we'll struggle against it daily. I will not give in to that sin. I will not give in to the depression related to the test. I will determine that I am going to get the victory over this, and we do it in our strength, going, I've got to work harder. I've got to try harder. And then we fail, because we have not used the third option, which is to overcome temptation. We do it not only in our self-effort, but through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. I must realize my total reliance and my total honesty that I need give to God. This seems to me bigger than I can overcome, but you are the overcomer. By your Spirit, Father, you can give me the victory over this temptation. Redirect my thinking. Get me in your word. Speak to me through circumstances that will give me the confidence to know I can go through this with you, to try to overcome temptation to sin by personal determination will not work. The picking yourself up by your bootstraps and getting through the test will not work if you are doing it in your own strength. I must come back and continually be in prayer. God, I can't, you can. God, I can't, but you can. I'll determine to do my part, but I'm trusting that you will do your part. Turn with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to shorten the reading down to verses 11 through 13. I'm reading from the ESV version, so if it doesn't match yours, that's why the difference. Now, these things have happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the age has come. Therefore, let no one who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your own ability. How many of you know that verse and have heard that? How many of you have ever struggled with saying, that doesn't work for me, right? He's not really understanding who I am, or he wouldn't be putting me through this much of a test. But in fact, it is God's word, and he is saying that he is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation or the test, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. The theme again is that temptation and testings, while they cannot be avoided, can be overcome through the power of God's Spirit. That's the promise. That's something we can bank on. And we'll look now at some steps as to how we can appropriate that truth and that. Notice in verse 11, it says these things have happened. He has gone through in verses 1 through 10 the failure of Israel when they came out of Egypt. He gives illustrations as to their sin. Remember, Moses was a long time on the mountain. They were wanting to get into the promised land, and God was dragging his heels. He was not hurrying. And so they say, well, if he's going to be so slow, we know there were gods in Egypt that were powerful, so let's just bring one of those in and we'll get going and let Moses stay up on the mountain. And as they did, they were tempted into terrible sin and the judgment that came from that sin by not being patient to wait on the Lord. You might remember that they got tired of what God had provided for them, which was manna. Have you ever been tired of the things that you have? You want something a little more? It's kind of human nature, is it not, to want and not be appreciative of what we have? They had manna. They didn't have to plant it. They didn't have to water it. They just had to get up in the morning and eat it. The neat thing about manna was you could boil it, or you could fry it, or you could eat it raw. There was variety. But in the end, they said, yeah, there's variety, but it's manna. And the term manna means what? What is it? They didn't know what it was. Okay, it tastes kind of good. God says it's... They got tired of it. And so it was they complained to God in such a vile way that he said, okay, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you lots of meat. Now, I don't know if you're a Survivor fan on TV, but they have reward challenges, and this one team got steak and all these things, and the one gentleman was an older gentleman, and he doesn't eat much meat, but he was so hungry he gorged himself on meat, steak, and he got kicked off the team because it was too much protein, too fast. Well, these people wanted in Israel, I want a different food. God says, okay, I'll give you a variety. Here's some quail. And in the end, they gorged themselves and became extremely sick. Temptation to sin we see in Israel, even in light of the fact that they had been led by God out of Egypt through the Red Sea. What would you give to be able to walk across the Columbia on dry ground as a sign that God loved you? Wouldn't that be awesome? You would never forget or ever doubt God again, would you? He says, Israel's a reminder that, in fact, we are prone to become disillusioned and discouraged in tests, and we are prone, even in spite of the goodness of God, to lend ourselves to sin and to temptation. Barnes notes a wonderful commentary that I love. In verse 11 says, for examples, the Greek word, tupoi. The sense is not that the things took place simply and solely to be examples or admonitions, but that their occurrence illustrated great principles of human nature and of the divine governance. They showed the weakness of humankind and their liability to fall into sin and their need for divine protection, and that they might thus be used for the admonition of other generations. God did not want to waste their attitudes and their turning from God, so he recorded it to be an encouragement and an admonition to us. When we go through tests that seem to be overwhelming, when we are tempted to sin, forgetting about sin's consequences. The last two verses give us this wonderful summary of the victory that we can have over these two areas. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. What's he saying? Israel, in light of unbelievable miracles, failed in the area of tests, failed in the area of temptation. We need to realize our human weakness when confronted in these two areas, that we don't fail, that we become overcomers through Christ. The warning there is, let those who have great beginnings realize that we still might fall. Therefore, he who thinks he stands, beware, because that's when you might fall most. We as Christians that have walked with Christ all our life long need to realize that that close walk with God can be marred by sin or by doubt, no matter how long we've walked with the Lord. Think of David. David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? Don't you love the stories? When you were little, did you hear the Sunday school stories about David and Goliath and his slings and the nobility of the character of David, that he would not kill Saul who was trying to kill him because he left those things to God? What a temptation. If somebody's done something against you, how about turning it over to God and not worry about it? Why stew and raise your blood pressure when you just turn it over to God? David did that. We look at the victories. We look at the love in regards he had for Absalom. Look at the psalms that he wrote in regards to his strength. He was a mighty young warrior that loved God intensely, trusted God in all the tests of life. Even when he was in the cave and Saul was pursuing, he trusted in God. What a man of faith! Till he got old. He was an old saint. Couldn't quite sling the slingshot anymore. You know that bursitis with lifting the sword just kept him. To where he, at the time when kings go out to war, stayed home because he just wasn't fit and ready to go out. And here this man of God, this man of strength, this beloved of God, is bored. He has several wives, many concubines, but he's walking through and temptation catches his eye in the form of Bathsheba. And he looks and he relooks and goes, wow. And he gave in to sin's challenge and he fell. What was the cost of that? Were there consequences to that, even though he was God's man? There were consequences. A knife went through Absalom's death, the rape of his daughter by her half-brother. All consequences that were the outflow of his. What Paul is saying is, it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, realize that temptation can catch you and lead you into sin and bring its consequences upon you. We see also in regards to testing, no matter how many things God has done, I look at my life and the miracles that you cannot explain in my life by circumstances. They were divinely given to me, gifted to me by God. And yet how we go beyond those and all of a sudden we begin to forget the power of God's presence. So that when we go through a new test, it's like we have to relearn it again. I can trust God. Look at all that he's done. But this one is different. I'm not sure we're going to get through this one. But we will, if we have the right attitudes. We will become overcomers. Look at Elijah. Elijah on with the prophets of Baal. 10,000 were killed. Baal worship ended by the fire coming from heaven on the sacrifice covered with water. That's a huge miracle. Wouldn't you like something like that in your life to hang on to? I would like to go to the woods when I can't light a fire and just say, well, God, you take care of it. And it's off and going. You would think that would be enough to keep a man trusting in God's faithfulness and his ability to deliver in the midst of the test. But that very day, he hears that Jezebel is really ticked and has sworn she's going to kill him. And what does he do? Are you kidding, Jezebel? Look what happened to your prophets. Look at the fire that got. I'm a man of God. You be careful. No, he runs and hides. This woman's going to get me. 10,000 prophets. Yeah, but this is a really mad woman. Those were guys. And he hides himself under a juniper tree. You see, if we're not careful, we will fall because we will forget, and our confidence in God will wane simply because we're going through a test and we're not holding to the truth that God loves us and will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to withstand. First warning, we need to realize that we who have been walking a long time need be careful, because in our overconfidence, we'll forget to direct that confidence to God and we will fall, we will fail. Every test, every temptation are two sides of the same thing, and they will lead us from God if we allow them to. John MacArthur, speaking on this text, says, this is a very encouraging verse, but isn't it to you as well? The promise of the verse is thrilling. No temptation is overpowering. Satan is not so powerful. Demons are not so effective. Satanic operations are not so subtle. The flesh is not so weak. The human heart is not so deceived that we are necessarily a victim of temptation or testing. In this verse, there are some principles that rise to the top. If we can understand them, we can understand the path to triumph. Very simply stated, MacArthur says, temptation wants to overtake you, to dominate you. To put it another way, it wants to take control of your life. But we are overcomers through Christ, who's within us. We need to claim that victory. We need to live by that victory. We need, even when it seems like the battle is lost, to hold that he will redeem and rescue me in the midst of the temptation, in the midst of the testing. The theme that I want us to carry home with us is that temptation and testing, while they cannot be avoided, can be overcome through the power of God in our lives. Notice first, temptation in that verse is common to every person. So there is no temptation that is unique. There is no test that's unique. Different verbiage to it, but every test that you go through, other believers have gone through as well. There's nothing new. You see, as other believers have conquered through the power of the Spirit, you can too. There's nothing new. Satan hasn't come up. Isn't it disgusting somewhat that Satan uses the same tactics that he's always used and we fall prey to him? We find out how he works and he works against us and we go, wow, that must be a new one. I can't overcome that one. Where did he come up with this one? Nobody's gone through this test like I've gone through and come out okay. And yet we look at the victory and see all those who went through the test and got the victory. Well, this temptation is bigger. No one has ever been tempted in the way that I'm being tempted to sin. All things are common. Others have metered out the victory through their confidence in Christ. Why don't we as well, through the power that he has given to us? Temptation is common to every person, and victory is assured by that reality. Notice also that God controls the context of our temptation. We've probably all seen load limit signs, and you know they have the rest stops or the truck stops for trucks so that they don't ruin the roads by their over. We're used to limits. God says, I know what your load limit is. And if you're going through it, it's something you can handle by the power of my Spirit. And we say, yeah, right. Do you not realize I have limits? And God says, I know your limits. But if you are going to grow in faith and if you are going to become more Christ-like, you need to go through the test and see my sufficiency. You need to realize in the moment of temptation the sufficiency of my Holy Spirit to help you not give in to that sin. He will not allow you to be tested or tempted beyond what you are able. But we must draw on God to deliver us in the midst. Isn't it great as a pastor? I have never, ever been tested to where I was frustrated with God. That is a lie. But I've learned to trust God because I went through the temptation. I went through the test, and he delivered me, and that should motivate me for the next one. But some, if I'm not careful, I go through a hard time, and I go, well, this one really is not, God's not going to do it. I'm wrestling right now with retirement. I've worked since I was in junior high. I've always had money coming in. And now we look at what we put aside. Is that enough? Is it here? Will God still bless me when I'm not in an active role in ministry? And I have to say, I'll just wait and see. He's never let me down. It's not that I haven't prepared. It's that with the economy of our nation that there's a lot of scary things. But I am confident that he has a purpose and a plan, even in retirement. And though I'm not actively bringing in money, he has always provided for my needs through this. I can face that confidently because there have been so many tests where God brought me through. Screaming, crying, clawing, saying, this is not right, you don't know who I am. And he said, I know, just trust me. Trust me and get through it. I'm not going to get through it. Just trust me. Keep going. Don't give up. And I get through it, and I look back and go, wow, that was actually pretty easy. Look how God did that. That's wow. And then I come up with a new one, but it's not new. It's what everybody wrestles with. God says, trust me. Get through it. We'll get through it. I know the load limit. I know how much you, and you're okay. We'll get you through this. And throughout the history of my life, that's been true. He's gotten me through. Mother Teresa once said, I know God will not give me more than I can handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Can you empathize with that? Our solution. Notice that when we're in a temptation or a test, the final point is that God personally and providentially will provide a specific way of escape. If you hold to the fact that God loves you and has a plan for your life, and you look, there will be a way through that challenge. One, it may be just simply reading God's word and how he brought other people through challenges. Maybe it's having those times of deep meditation and prayer, asking for God to lead you through it. We need to be looking in the face of temptation, in the face of testing, for the escape route that God has. And again, sometimes it's not leaving, sometimes it's going through. We need to trust the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding, according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We need to, when we're going through the challenge, trust in Philippians 4, 19 that says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Do we believe that? If not, that's what God is trying to teach us, is that you are okay. You are my child. I love you, and I want to grow you. And I grow you through tests and trials. I even grow you through the temptations of Satan in the flesh to make you a more victorious saint. Time has gone on, but I was going to go through the victories and the challenges, but I'll let you do that of saints in the Bible to see what God has done. If you're going through a challenge, get into the Word and start looking at the lives of people. Did you notice that it is a book about people and their struggles? True people who truly faced the same kinds of things we went through. Some were victorious. Think of Joseph and his victory over the temptation of sin with Potiphar's wife. In that case, his escape was to get out of there. And he did. For others, it's just holding down, hunkering down, and saying, God, I'm going to hunker here till you give me the victory out of this. I know you will. And trusting. Ultimately, it comes back to our confidence in the fact that God loves us and has given us the victory, and we will learn through it, and we will grow through it rather than accept the consequences of giving in to sin or the depression that comes from the hopelessness that God is not going to get me through the test. Temptation and tempting, while they cannot be avoided, that's part of our growth process, can be overcome by confidence in God and God's program, realization of our own personal weakness, but the importance of being determined, my personal strength to get through it, and my confidence that God will give me the strength needed and the way through it. And then I will begin to find how I can live a victorious Christian life, how I can find that purpose-driven life that God has for all of us. The victory is ours. We are assured of that. May we claim that victory. Lord, thank you for your word. We realize you will not save us from temptation or testing, but that you will deliver us and that we will grow closer to you each and every time. Let us remember, though, that even if we are old warriors for you, that we still can fall if we get our eyes off of you and off your word. Protect us so we do not do that, and we'll give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.